Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, red hot, baby. Blazing 5 off a 4-1 week. It's a crazy line. Vegas lines this week. I'm going big dogs. Like last week, I went heavy favorites, and I never do that. This week, I'm going a lot of underdogs with just one or two little tiny exceptions. So Joy Taylor is joining me. Here we go on a Friday, Joy. This week has flown by.
It has. There's a lot going on. The big weekend.
Yeah, before I talk about that dreadful football game last night, I'm going to start with this. There's two quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think they're both going to win this week. Jared Goff of the Rams and Dak Prescott. And I think it's funny. I'm reading some stories about, you know, Dak Prescott this morning, and Amari's like, we work together. It's like certain foods work together, you know, like ketchup on a hamburger. We work together. And I thought, yes, they do obviously work very well together. And that was the moment for me when I bought into Dak completely, when they brought in Amari Cooper, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's finally got a grown-up at wide receiver. He's finally got a young receiver in his prime. This is not Zeke's team. This is Dak's team and Amari's team. So, but it's funny, there's this idea that Dak has just had it perfect. Yeah, I mean, come on, the offensive line. Injuries on the O-line all last year. Zeke is amazing and has missed games due to suspensions. Their wide receiving core was kind of atrocious his first year. Cole Beasley overrated and Dez Bryant sort of a needy high maintenance, couldn't catch the ball at times or separate wide receiver, and Jason Witten was old. We also have an owner who holds weekly press conferences. You do realize this is not the easiest team to quarterback. It's the most popular team. Every game's a primetime game. The owner talks more than every other owner. Your running back's a star, but it's had some judicial issues. And oh, by the way, Dak wasn't even getting elite coaching, it appears, in his first 3 years. What more do you need to see with him? Okay? He's clearly got a better OC now, so he didn't have an elite OC. O-line was beat up. Zeke stuff. Dez the head case. Witten was old. And Jerry never stops talking. We're making it sound like he got Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, great O-line. No, he had all sorts of issues. He didn't have Brady's, I would say, reliability, coach, coordinator, line, weapons, defense. He didn't have any of that. He didn't have Sean McVay. Here's my thing. How much more do you need to see with Dak? I've got 53 games. He's won 35 of them. He's won a division. He's won a playoff game. He's beaten the Steelers, the Packers, the Eagles. And he's unbelievable at the podium. You guys keep defending Cam Newton. I got 132 games. He's won 54 of them. I don't like him at the podium. He's now older and beat up. He can be moody. He's roller coaster Cam, and you keep defending him. I don't think it's that hard. Trust your eyes. You're usually right on this stuff. I needed to watch 3 games of Mitch Trubisky. I didn't care that he was winning. I'm out. I needed to watch 2 games of Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck, and Patrick Mahomes. I was in. I don't think this stuff is terribly difficult. I think basically with Jared Goff, I bought into him when he went up against Patrick Mahomes, Monday Night Football, a game that was rescheduled late. Remember that? Because of the field in Mexico? And they brought him out here, and he outplayed Patrick Mahomes. I was like, all right, I'm in. Where do I sign the check? And once Dak, remember that game with Jared Goff? Like, he literally was unbelievable. Throw for throw. He was Mahomes without the turnovers. It was over. I made my decision that day. If you can go home toe-to-toe in a game that gets moved late against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and it's a fireworks show, and you win, I'm in. Give me the check. And when Dak Prescott finally got a non-needy wide receiver named Amari Cooper, a hardworking grown-up in his prime, and went 7-1 at the end of last year, I'm like, with offensive line issues, I was like, all right, I'm in. Now you give me another layer with Kellen Moore who appears to really get him? I mean, what does Dak have to do? Does he have to lose his entire offensive line, Zeke and Amari and Jason Witten, to meningitis? What do they call it? What does it call it? Meningitis. They get meningitis. He has to go on the road and win in Foxborough. And then you're like, well, that was pretty impressive. He had all backups, and they beat New England in Foxborough, and it's a blizzard. Is that what you're looking for? Because I don't know what more you have to see with these guys. I think it's really easy. And it's not just winning. Trubisky won, never bought in. Tebow won, never bought in. Vince Young won, never bought in. We've got everything we need to see on Goff. We've got everything we need to see on Dak. We know Goff isn't a great athlete, and we know Dak isn't a beautiful, artistic thrower. All right. Tom Brady's not a great athlete. I'm good. Dak, Goff, I don't need to see anything more. All right, so I'm watching last night as much as I could. It was awful. Of course it was. It was the Jags-Titans. And, you know, Tennessee's now officially done with Marcus Mariota. Why it took those so long, I'll never understand. But think about this. So last year, Baltimore moved off Joe Flacco. Why? They were honest with themselves. And they're happy now. The Dolphins and the Jags moved off Tannehill and Bortles. The Giants just moved off Eli. And Tennessee will now move off Marcus Mariota. Like corporate America, keep up or get benched. Okay? Look around the league right now. I mean, Kyler Murray's been in the league for 2 weeks. He's thrown for 350 yards and 308. Okay. I'm not all in yet, but I can see the door I'm about to knock on and open. Stop trying to talk yourself into crappy quarterbacks. There's 16 of them I'm buying into. You can have the rest. I'm buying into Brady and Mahomes and Darnold and Josh Allen and Russell Wilson and Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan and Breeze briefly and Deshaun Watson, Phillip Rivers, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Dak, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers. Give me 3 more weeks for Kyler Murray, maybe 4. That's half the league I'm in. Big Ben, old and hurt, out. Baker, too cocky, out. Trubisky, pass. Cam, I'm over it. Dalton, Matt Stafford, sorry, combined, no playoff wins. Half the league I'm in, half the league I'm out. All these Big 12 spread offense quarterbacks from all over the country, they're all working. All of them. I mean, we've got young, schematic, idealistic, progressive offensive coaches. Kellen Moore, you're giving them to young guys. And they're all working. Not like 50%, not 60, not 80. All of them not named Paxton Lynch. Even the guys I don't like, Trubisky, are winning. So, you know, Tennessee has been trying to convince themselves. I'm watching this game last night, and I'm laughing. And I knew Clay Travis was going to have a meltdown because it's his favorite team. And I watched them on Twitter last night. I'm laughing. I'm thinking, Clay, 13 games last year, he had 11 touchdowns. Kyler Murray's got 650 yards in 2 weeks for the worst offensive line in the league. Why are people trying to convince themselves average is good? Instead of being, as a fan, defensive about it, fans always get defensive. My guys get offensive. Just go draft another guy. Next year's draft has minimum 4 quarterbacks that the Greg Cosells and the Mel Kiper types are already like, these are first-round quarterbacks. And by the way, every single team that's moved off a guy, Baltimore did, they're happy. Arizona did, they're happy. Kansas City moved off Alex Smith, who was getting to the playoffs, they're happy. New York Giants, Daniel Jones, by Sunday afternoon, they'll be happy. These are not, stop being defensive. Like what you, people that, listen, if you look into the mirror and you think, I put on 20 pounds, don't deliberate on that. Sign up for a gym membership, okay? Stop trying to convince yourself average is good enough. Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't take long. Your eyes are telling you the truth. All the teams that moved off their guys this morning are happy. Baltimore's head over heels happy. and the New York Giants will be by late in Tampa Sunday afternoon. Good stuff, by the way. The Kansas City Baltimore game, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, is one of my Blazing Five picks. It's going to be a wildly entertaining game. And I will say this about all these quarterbacks. I like the, you know, I grew up with pocket quarterbacks. And then I was very, I questioned running quarterbacks. I can't wait to watch Daniel Jones. I can't wait to watch Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Maybe it was Russell Wilson who sort of opened everybody's eyes. Maybe it was Michael Vick the first time. Maybe it was Steve Young. Maybe it was Fran Tarkenton. But running quarterbacks work. They generally don't last. But it's making the games wildly entertaining. I mean, you say what you want about Kyler Murray. He's got 650 yards with a bad O-line and a Big 12 football coach in 2 weeks. Stuff's working fast.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, it's interesting about child actors. Welcome back. Most do not become stars. Tom Hanks was not a child actor that I recall. I'm just spacey today.
Washington.
Denzel Washington was not a child actor that I recall. Either was John Malkovich or Jeremy Irons.
I don't think Samuel L. Jackson started acting.
Oh, until like he was
late.
35, right?
Yeah.
But child actors are adorable at 8, super cute at 12, kind of obnoxious by 19, and then you find out at 22, they can't act. There are people that we're exposed to that they're really good early, but like they don't have a second gear. Child actors, he's just adorable. And then when the adorable rubs off, he can't act. There's a lot of that in Hollywood. Adorable early, can't act later. The same thing, there's numbers out, and I'm not picking on Baker, believe it or not, but the numbers are really stark. So Baker Mayfield is 14th in the AFC this morning in passer rating. His completion percentage is near the bottom, 25th in the NFL. Four interceptions, tied for the second most. His passer rating is 19th. He's fallen off a cliff. Now, in fairness to Baker, I don't know if he's got the right head coach. I don't think his offensive line's very good. And people have tape on him. I mean, that happens all the time. But people have tape on Lamar Jackson. He's getting way better. People have all sorts of tape on Dak. Dak's getting better. People have all sorts of tape on Patrick Mahomes and Wentz and Deshaun Watson, and they're getting better. Baker, to me, is 5'11 and a half, not that athletic. Let me just throw this at you. Is it possible, and we see this all the time in football, Nick Saban is known as one of the great secondary coaches in college football, probably the best defensive coach in college football history. He's a great secondary coach. His corners and safeties come to the NFL, and Nick has squeezed every bit of talent out of them, and they're never as good as they were in college. Outside of Aaron Rodgers, every quarterback that Jeff Tedford had in college was better in college and more dominating than in the NFL. When you get a great college coach, Nick Saban defensive backs, they squeeze every ounce of your game out of you. When you get a great offensive quarterback coach, Jeff Tedford, Aaron Rodgers the exception, players never grow to the next level. Not everybody, not every actor has a second gear. In the last 10 years, four quarterbacks have won Rookie of the Year in the last decade. Sam Bradford, RG3, Cam Newton, and Dak. One of those, I'm all in on. Some of them, the first of what you saw was the best of what you saw. Tim Tebow, Vince Young, early. There was no second gear. People got tape and figured them out. Dak, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson had a second gear. They weren't just adorable child actors. They could actually act. Most child actors cannot. They're cute, and that's it. And just think about this with Baker. He had the best, I don't think anybody denies this, he has the best offensive coach in college football, maybe ever. So it's very possible he's not going to get better coaching in the NFL like Saban or Jeff Tedford. He was the oldest rookie quarterback. He had the most starts, 44. Is it possible that Baker Mayfield, what he was, is now what he is? That there's not a massive room to grow. That's not saying that he doesn't have talent, he does. That's not saying he doesn't throw an accurate football, he does. That's not saying he'll never win games or a division. He may. But I've watched my whole life really elite coaches. When Pete Carroll was at USC, he squeezed a lot out of his defensive players. And they would go to the NFL, and Clay Matthews, who was a late bloomer from the Matthews family, did hit. But a lot didn't. They were as good with Pete at USC defensively as they ever were. And Saban's corners and safeties, most that's as good as they ever are. And Tedford's college quarterbacks outside of Aaron Rodgers, that's as dominant as they ever are. I don't think Jalen Hurts is as good as Lincoln Riley makes him look. I don't think Baker Mayfield is a wizard. I think he's 5'11 and a half, kind of brash, easy to put your arms around if you're in Cleveland. He's got confidence that you haven't had in Moxie. He's semi-athletic, but, I mean, look around the league. He's not Carson Wentz athletic. He's not Mahomes athletic. He's not, look around. Lamar athletic, not Russell. He's not. So I'm not saying he's not talented, but I'm saying, is it possible? I've seen it with Saban's guys, Tedford's guys, and Pete Carroll's guys in college, that Baker's way closer to the ceiling than we think. Generally, I was told this years ago by an NFL general manager. He goes, I loved drafting Georgia players. I said, why? He said, because Mark Richt could recruit, but I never thought his staffs got the most out of the players. So you'd get a Georgia Bulldog player, and he was super talented. Mark Richt and his staff at the time could spot talent, but they weren't great at developing and getting the most out of the talent. So this GM, who's very successful and has rings, said, I like drafting Georgia players. I always felt there were two or three more levels to get out of them. People don't feel that with Saban. Like, what you see is what you get, because Nick's a great coach.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Peter Schrager's, our Fox Sports NFL reporter, spent last week on the sidelines, Ravens, Arizona. We'll get to that in a second. Now joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Let's start with Dak. I do think it's funny that there's a lot of critics for Dak. And initially, I saw him in college. I didn't love his throwing motion. But last year when he connected with Amari Cooper, went 7-1 down the stretch, I just came to the realization, you gave him a grown-up wide receiver in his prime. Amari's a good dude. And I'm like, okay, won 7 of 8 games, he got better. That, to me, was the moment. For Jared Goff, it was the Mahomes game. And I'm like, all right, sign the checks. When you're talking to sources around the league, what do they say about Dak?
Well, the initial bias against Dak is the fact that he went in the fourth round. So everyone wants to hold their judgment because that means 32 teams got it wrong 3 different times. And Connor Cook was taken right before him. I don't know where Connor Cook is playing right now. So people are always hesitant about saying, oh, Dak is amazing, because it's them admitting that, oh, wait, we were wrong 3 different times in 3 different rounds. That said, there's still not this overwhelming love for Dak the player. There's always, he's got the great offensive line. He's got this. And now it's Kellen Moore. Like, they have a new offensive coordinator. Scott Linehan was running the same old offense the last 3 seasons for Dak. And as great as Dak was, and he won a playoff game last year, Kellen Moore has come in and has totally revitalized the excitement around this Cowboys offense. You're seeing Jason Witten get involved. You're seeing Amari have great games. But you're also seeing a new confidence in Dak Prescott. Kellen Moore is a 31-year-old offensive coordinator in a league where everyone's looking to don the next great offensive mind. He might be the guy right under our nose with the biggest spotlight team in the entire NFL, a former quarterback and a guy who ironically should have had that opportunity after Romo went down in the preseason a few years ago, but he also got injured, which led to Dak Prescott never giving up that throne as the quarterback. It's amazing. Kellen Moore, 31-year-old Boise State quarterback, might be the key to the Dallas Cowboys making a run to the Super Bowl this season.
So you did sidelines, and you picked this game months ago. You told our Fox executives, I want to be on the sideline for Baltimore, Arizona. And I got to tell you, I've seen enough of Lamar. I'm in. It works. And I like what Baltimore's doing with him. But Kyler now had over 300 yards with a bad O-line. I'm not that many games away with Kyler saying, all right, I'm in. I said to start my show today, I'm in on about 15 to 16 of the quarterbacks. You can have the rest and talk yourself into them. What was your takeaway on both Lamar and Kyler last week?
All right, Kyler, this team moved right up and down the field, and they would get in the red zone. It was like they couldn't punch it in. They settled for field goals. They had 3 different field goal attempts within the 5-yard line last week, which was the first time since 1974. So that's a crazy stat. Kyler will get going. I like what Cliff's doing with those guys. Lamar, though, Colin, I was a skeptic, and I don't mean a skeptic about the kid. I was a skeptic about this offense, how revolutionary it was going to be, because all offseason, everyone in the Ravens building was raving about Lamar Jackson's development and how it's going to be such an impressive performance, not from the running game, but from the passing game. And I said, all right, well, hold on. Let's just see it. Guess what? I'm a believer. It was awesome. And it's not just him on the field within the hash marks. This guy has a charisma at the age of 22 that I can't really quantify with stats or numbers. I can only tell you anecdotally that Marshall Yanda, this old veteran offensive lineman, is following Lamar Jackson's lead. Mark Ingram, played with Drew Brees for all these years, is following Lamar Jackson's lead. And we know how much that franchise loved Flacco. I didn't hear Flacco's name once last week. Everyone is all in on Lamar. And he might not necessarily have the sound bites of Baker Mayfield or the charisma of Gardner Minshew, who we saw last night. But Lamar Jackson has it. I can't quantify it. These guys love him. They play for him. And he is a Raven, which means a lot in that city.
By the way, I was just talking about Baker Mayfield's numbers. And we've seen this. You know, you have a lot of sources. We've seen this for years, that Saban's defensive backs, he squeezes everything out of them. They don't have a second gear in the NFL. Pete Carroll's defensive guys at USC, many topped out. Jeff Tedford quarterbacks not named Aaron Rodgers. He squeezes all the talent out. Lincoln Riley's making you and I mean, it looks like we could play in the Big 12. And I look at Baker Mayfield's stats, and I'm saying to myself, you know, maybe he doesn't have a second gear. I mean, now, again, the offensive line's not great, but now Aaron Donald comes to town. Are there real concerns? Is it possible that we just jumped the gun too fast on the Baker fandom?
Look, you and I are often looked at as the Baker haters because we say, well, slow down here. They haven't really won anything yet. They won 7 games. They also lost 8 games and missed the playoffs last year. And this year, it's a slow build. It was almost like people were tweeting at me, Kyle, Colin, when they're saying, look at, you love Kyler Murray. You love Kyler Murray, but look at Baker. They just blew out, the Jets. And I'm like, well, slow down. They got the Rams next week. Let's see. The truth of the matter is this. That offensive line in Cleveland is not good. And Aaron Donald is good. And so is Dante Fowler. So is a bunch of different guys. So I think Sunday night is another opportunity for us on a national stage to see how Baker Mayfield is. Look, it's all great when you beat the Jets and Odell has an 80-yard play. Let's see as the season gets on and the weather gets cold. I'm with you on this one. Let's pump the brakes on the Browns offense being this high-fly machine, and let's maybe pump the brakes on Baker until we see him do it against Aaron Donald in his face.
By the way, an interesting number. Our staff has this. Baker Mayfield's career against Cincinnati, he's Joe Montana, 2-0, 7 touchdowns, no picks, and a passer rating of 135. Against everybody else, for our FS1 listeners, look at the numbers to the right. He almost has as many picks as touchdowns. He's 5-8 and a quarterback rating of 86. Again, all we're saying here is just slow down. Cincinnati had the 5th worst defense in league history last year. Now, you're in New York. Let's talk Eli. I honestly feel I like the Giants this weekend. I think that Daniel Jones, it's almost like Kyler to Arizona replacing Josh Rosen. There's an energy. I feel like, oh, this is going to be fun. I don't think the Giants are a Super Bowl team. How is it landing in New York with the new kid, the rookie, coming in for the legacy guy?
Colin, you and I look at things from like 30,000 feet, and it's not just week to week. It's NFL. The Giants were stale. Like, and it's not just this year. It was last year. It was the year before. And here we are, week 3, Giants at Tampa Bay, 4 o'clock window. I don't know who was signing up to watch that game. They announced Daniel Jones is the starter. And suddenly I look at that 4 o'clock window and I say, well, Breeze isn't playing for the Saints. And, you know, I don't know about this game. I don't know about Mason Rudolph. I don't know if I want to watch. It's the game in the 4 o'clock window. It is the game. I want to see what Daniel Jones brings. I want to see how the Giants come out of the gates. And I think there's some sizzle to the New York Giants, and they ripped the Band-Aid off, and no one is now being blindsided by it. They drafted the guy in April. You knew this was eventually going to happen. Last week, I had a lot of friends who were at Giants Stadium or MetLife, whatever it's called right now, and they said there were a lot of Bills fans in the building, and it kind of felt like this is the end of the era. So they ripped the Band-Aid off, and there's at least another restart and some recharge to the Giants. They were on the back page all this week in New York in the tabloids. I can't tell you the last time they actually mattered in a football conversation in New York, let alone big picture NFL. 4 o'clock window, that's your game. Daniel Jones, I can't wait to see it.
Finally, Tennessee, they're moving off Marcus Mariota. I think they should have moved off 2 years ago, but last night was, you know, nail coffin, right? Like, they're done with Mariota.
Yeah, look, this is the fifth year of his contract. They had the opportunity to give him the big contract extension. They didn't. They said, let's play this thing out. I'm not announcing their starter from here on out. They didn't replace him last night, but that was again, sizzle. That was as boring. Like, what are you getting here? That was as boring a game last night as you could have ever imagined from a quarterback in a big spot on national TV. And it's like, here we go again. Fifth year of the Mariota experience. A big win week one, a terrible loss week two, a terrible loss week three. And maybe it's not all Marcus Mariota's fault. But the Tennessee Titans are not in a major market. They're in Nashville, Tennessee. They had a primetime game last night. And we come away with it talking about Gardner Minshew and Calais Campbell. We're not talking about the Titans. Last night I give Buck, Aikman, Aaron, Christina Pink, and the producer, Richie Zients, whoever else is on that crew, so much credit because that did not feel like a game that mattered. And yet you're watching it on NFL Network and it's all of our top talent from Fox. And you're like, they're giving it their all. Like, we're trying here. But if we don't hear about the Titans for a couple more weeks and maybe a couple more months, I wouldn't be shocked. This is just one of those teams that until there's a big splash change, I can't get on board and say, yes, I'm convinced. This is the team I want to follow. This is the team I want to watch. And maybe it's the quarterback position that they've got to switch up.
Peter Schrager, Fox Sports NFL reporter. By the way, New York Times bestseller, Out of the Blue. He's on the NFL Network. Good morning, Football in the Morning. Good seeing you, buddy.
I will see you Sunday, Fox NFL Kickoff. Love doing that show with you.
All right, Schrag, so do I. Love it.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show. I used to scout in the NFL. Now I talk for a living. Coming up on this show, Jalen Ramsey, why the Jags should keep him. Marcus Mariota, future backup. Eli Manning, Hall of Famer. The Cowboys, they were right to slow play Dak. And you know we dive into every game coming up Sunday. 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe.
There is an interesting story. Odell Beckham is upset because he had a visor the other night, and he thinks the referees are singling him out. Here's Odell Beckham complaining about the NFL, the refs. He's a victim. They're out to get him, blah, blah, blah. Here it is.
Just open your eyes a little bit, you know. It's just, like I said, there's people across the league. It's tinted visors, black visors, and it's, you know, it's me on Monday night in New York and la, 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 and pull them off the field, so.
Okay, red sports cars statistically get more speeding tickets because they draw more attention. This is a very expressive player. Peeing in the end zone, proposing to a kicking net. Refs are human. Everybody's watching Odell. They watch him in warmups. He's the only player in the league that we go for the warmups. He's the most watched player, not a quarterback in the league. He really is. You don't go and watch Khalil Mack in warmups. You don't go watch Julio Jones in warmups. So Odell Beckham is the red sports car of NFL players, and people are paying more attention. And they probably picked up on his visor and would not have, perhaps, if he wasn't that player. But he's also simultaneously building a brand in the middle of a season wearing a watch. So he's trying to accumulate endorsement deals while the season's going on in games. Look at my watch. People are watching his watch, and they're watching him. And, I mean, listen, football is like the military. You get fined as a player if you lose the playbook. You get fined millions of dollars if you secretly taped somebody else's practice. In baseball, you can watch the other guy's batting practice. In the NBA, you can watch the other team shoot around. But in football, you can't watch my practice. I can't watch yours. It's covert. It's secret. And, it is like the military. It's about having secrets you don't know. The best offensive linemen hold, but hide it. New England has figured out how to have pass interference on their secondary on every play and never get called. If you watch the Patriots secondary, Stephon Gilmore is the master at it. The whole time down the field, slapping, poking, never gets called for PI. It's the subtle nature of football. The best coaches, they put in the groupings quietly, quickly, that create mismatches. The best offensive linemen hold, you don't see it. The best corners touch, poke, prod, Stephon Gilmore, you don't call it. Well, there is no subtlety to OBJ's game. There's no subtlety to his branding. There's no subtlety to his hair. There's no subtlety to his Bentley, which is orange. There's no subtlety to his style, his warm-ups. And so they're watching him more. I mean, he's a player. He's highly expressive. And so everybody's watching him, including the refs. So in a league where subtlety is rewarded, he's the NFL's red sports car. He's the least subtle player in the NFL. I don't think he's a victim.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, it's funny. Greg Jennings is joining us. 10 NFL seasons, couple of Pro Bowls, Super Bowl. Like when quarterbacks go down, like Pittsburgh now has Mason Rudolph. And he was pretty good last week. He was solid. And then Teddy Bridgewater, Greg Jennings, you guys turn his mic on there. It's not you. It's can you hear you? There you go.
There we go.
And Teddy Bridgewater. And, you know, I always think to my, I think about this all the time. Well, you got all week. You guys don't have, you know, your job is football. And you just sit around there all day. But there are times when you get a new quarterback in and you're like, wow, this is rough. Trevor Siemian for the Jets with Adam Gase, you're like, did they practice? So, like, with New Orleans, Teddy Bridgewater, been in the league, won games for Minnesota. Sean Payton, he's been with him now a year. Mm-hmm. Offensive line veteran. Alvin Kamara has been almost a better road running back than home. Like, I think New Orleans should go into Seattle and not skip a ton of beats, right? Like,
well, it's, yeah. To a degree, your expectations are always next man up. And in this instance, when you look at Teddy Bridgewater and what he affords this team, there's not a huge drop-off in regard. And this is no disrespect to Drew Brees.
He's now 40, though.
We know who he is. As far as experience, Drew Brees has seen it all. Teddy Bridgewater, he has experience. He has started in this league. So you're dealing with a guy who's played as a starter, who now has a full week of preparation where the game plan is going, he's going to have a game plan that's tailored for himself.
By the smartest offensive guy,
yes,
arguably in the league, with a top running back, an elite receiver, and a top 10 line.
Yes. The one thing I would caution viewers and Saints fans, and really Teddy Bridgewater, is to, when I played with him as a rookie in Minnesota, I remember having this conversation with him. I'm like, Teddy, you got to feel it, don't see it. And when I watched him last week take over against the Rams,
a little conservative.
It wasn't so much that he was conservative. His reaction time and decision time was delayed. The receiver had to be wide open, and then he threw the ball. You can't do that in year, what, five now for Teddy Bridgewater? Like, your expectations are to get that ball out and be timely. Feel it. When you know Michael Thomas is about to break, you got to throw that ball. You got to trust that he's going to make that play.
A lot of quarterbacks don't
being
like
wide open.
People, a lot of quarterbacks don't like to do that.
They don't. That's what separates the great ones from the good ones.
Dak Prescott, why do we still doubt him? He's won a division twice, 66% wins. The minute he got, I was a doubter a little bit. I mean, I thought he was competent, but when he got Amari and went 7-1 at the end of last year, I said, "All right, boom, check, write the check. I'm okay with it." Why do you think we still doubt him?
We still doubt Dak. I don't doubt him any longer. Let me just say that.
Right.
But I think there are doubters out there because when he entered this league, we saw that they had a phenomenal offensive line. So that was kind of a label right there. Oh, he doesn't have to do so much because his offensive line is great.
True.
Running back turned out to be phenomenal that year, led the league in rushing. So none of the weight was really on Dak Prescott. He was being asked to just manage the game. Don't turn the ball over.
Don't wreck the Mercedes.
He did that. So he met that expectation, and they went 13-3.
Okay, but let me push back. He had an incredibly high-maintenance demanding wide receiver in Dez Bryant.
Yes.
That was not perfect. He had a coordinator, clearly in Scott Linehan, who was super conservative. By year two, he had Zeke in trouble and suspended. Jerry holds a press conference after games and before them. They have had offensive line issues last year. And at tight end, essentially when Witten left, they just didn't have one. It's not like it's been ideal for him. He's had bumps too.
He has had bumps, but for me, when I look at Dak Prescott in his career, really in a full, complete look, he's been what they've asked him to be. The one time that he didn't really step up was when Ezekiel Elliott was out in year two, when he missed those games and the expectation was now, okay, you got to lead us. You got to win games. And it didn't look as good as we would have hoped.
By the way, Zeke got hurt at the same time the offensive line got banged up.
Exactly.
So you had, again, when Kareem Hunt was cut by the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes when Todd Gurley left Jared Goff. All these young quarterbacks lose a star running back. There are none of them are as good.
Yeah, I mean, when you can start a young quarterback with a running game the way that Ezekiel Elliott has
huge.
Helped and afforded Dak Prescott, it's a positive. But then now you look at Dak Prescott now with Amari Cooper. I mean, he's been lights out, and this is dating back to when he acquired him. Prior to acquiring Amari Cooper last year, weeks 1 through 7, like he had one game where he threw 20 completions. After that, once he got Amari Cooper, he hasn't thrown a game without 20 completions yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't. That's because of the trust, because of what you provide him. Now, we can all say, and I've been wanting to say it, the guys around him has made him look better and made him look good. Well, now Dak Prescott is of the mentality, and he's showing us, and he has the confidence, no, it is me too. And so he's stepped his elevation, his game, and his elevation up. And the guys around him has afforded him that opportunity. So it's a win-win situation for Dak. But he's in that star. He's going to always be doubted because it's a run-first team, and it's the Dallas Cowboys. So there's Dak, we're going to always label you with something.
Yeah.
So just get ready for it.
By the way, the Baker Mayfield stuff, I am sometimes reluctant to be critical because I'm viewed as a hater. No, I don't care. I would invite him on the show. I don't care. I'm always willing to take. I've invited Russell Westbrook wants to come and yell at me. I don't care. They can't eat me. I don't care. It's like what I brought Richie Incognito on. I brought T.O. on. Everybody I'm critical of, come on the show.
Baker was on also.
Yes. I'd like, come on. Come back. My knock on him, as I said, his personality traits are not my cup of tea, but big deal. I was never a Jay Cutler guy. I didn't like his personality. Jim McMahon was never my cup of tea as a personality. By the way, Cam is too much into Cam. It's okay. I'm not everybody. Tebow, I didn't buy. A lot of guys I don't buy. It's no big deal. He's just a more popular one. By the way, I got a lot of hate mail on Tebow for many years because people thought I was like anti-faith-based, and I'm like, no, I'm anti. He can't throw the ball in the out route. I don't care about your faith. So, but Baker, it's interesting, though. So you know this. So generally speaking, you get a better NFL coach than college coach. But there are exceptions. Nick Saban is such a good defensive coach that a lot of Alabama defensive backs come into the league and he squeezed every ounce out of them. The best football they ever played was with Nick. And they come to the NFL, D. Milner, not the same player. Jeff Tedford has had like 7 NFL quarterbacks. Take out Aaron Rodgers. They've all were better in college than in pro. Lincoln Riley right now is incredible. Is it possible that Lincoln Riley took Baker Mayfield to a place that was special and that at 5'11 and a half and a 2-time walk-on, he's not quite as special as we think? He had balls batted down last week. If you look at his career against everybody in this league not named Cincinnati, he's 5-8, 22 touchdowns, 18 picks, and a quarterback rating in the mid-80s. Is it possible that Saban does that? Pete Carroll's defense at USC, Clay Matthews was rare. Was a great player immediately as a Trojan. Most would go to the NFL. And you were like, Pete squeezed everything out of him. Like, I watched Baker last week, and I'm like, he doesn't look special to me. Deshaun Watson looks special. He doesn't look special. Am I wrong?
I don't agree totally with this. And here's why. Because, number one, last year, Baker Mayfield, he was playing with house money. He walked into a situation where he pretty much knew this was going to be my job. Mm-hmm. Eventually, there was no pressure. There was absolutely no pressure. The standard of winning, there was none. They hadn't won. And so anything he did, he was setting the bar. And so you walk into this season after winning some last year, the standard of winning and the expectations have now risen. And it's because of Baker Mayfield. It's because of what he was able to showcase, the wins and the losses. Not so much the stats and the numbers because he's a young quarterback. He's going to have growing pains. But this year, typically in the history of the National Football League, year two is the sophomore slump.
Okay, well, there's your sophomore slump. Rams at the Ravens, at the Niners, Seattle at the Patriots.
He's facing some defenses, and I think to the defenders' credit, like they're doing something with Baker Mayfield, and Booger did a great Booger McFarland called the game last Monday night. He did a great job of showing this or saying or communicating this. The defenses, the defenders, they're disguising the coverage at the snap. Pre-snap, they're showing him one thing, and then once the ball is snapped, they're going to a different coverage, which in return for a young quarterback, whether it's Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, whomever, how you deal with that is predicated on your success, meaning Baker Mayfield is struggling with that. What he's seeing pre-snap, you're having a number one option right now. You know your progression right now. But when the defense now has disguised it and they go to something different, your one number one, number two progression has now changed. And so you have to decisively make those decisions quicker, and that just didn't happen. He had one throw with on the run last week, and he just missed Odell Beckham. And typically Baker makes that throw. Like, he's an accurate quarterback. And I think a little bit is he's feeling the pressure of what he created. Like, this is what comes with expectations.
Well, I told my wife this the other night. We were talking about this. I said, if I got a new job and I promised I was going to be great, and I said, I am going to be unbelievable. And I'm like, actually, I put pressure on me. I'd be like, oh, crap, I got to be great. You're much better to be self-deprecating in any environment as an entertainer or a performer because you don't put massive pressure
Colin,
on yourself.
You want to know, like, the whole diva receiver, like, I hated that term, and I was never that guy. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because of that. I never wanted to create more attention, draw more attention, put my game under a microscope any more than it already was. Like, there was no need for that. To add pressure in a pressure-filled game, that makes no sense. Now, would I have thrived? I don't know, but that just wasn't my cup of tea to add more on top of me. Like, I know I have to perform. I don't need to show up my quarterback or talk about all these targets that I'm not getting or make this big hissy fit.
There's a psychology in life to promising less and delivering more. I got into a discussion with my daughter the other day, and she goes, I was so stressed out. She goes, I get sick when I'm stressed out. And I said, you know what eliminates in college stress is preparation. If you study for the test for 4 days, by the time it's test day, there's no stress. I said, you can be a procrastinator at times, so you wake up and you're like, oh my God,
yep,
I'm stressed. I said, just prep better and you'll have less stress. It's the same thing with hype. It makes me nervous. If I would brag to everybody how great I was, I'd step in front of the mic every day and think, oh my God, if I don't nail this.
Exactly.
So, like, to me, Baker kind of said, I'm the man. It's like, don't do that. Do that. Lamar Jackson literally hid in the offseason. Like, there's no pressure on Lamar. We were all like, I don't know if he's very good. He's playing so free. He's playing so light. He's playing. You can tell there's a lightness to Lamar Jackson.
There is. And one thing that I love about Lamar Jackson that he did, and he said this in a tweet earlier this week. He said something about negativity is a fuel booster, or it boosts you. And he understood everything that everyone was saying to be true. It didn't mean that he didn't know prior to anyone saying he needs to be more accurate, he needs to not take those hits. Well, what he did was say, you know what? These things are true, not because they say it, but because I see the film too, and I know them to be true. So this offseason, what did he go do? He worked on being more accurate.
He
put on bulk. Like, he understood, if I'm going to make this work, I'm going to have to do things that I didn't do last season to progress, to make these strides. And I don't have to tell everybody that I'm doing it. I just need to do it. Like, the beauty of playing this game is when you can play and you're free. But to your point, because you've prepared, because you have checked every box.
And you haven't put pressure on yourself to perform.
Exactly.
Go out, be humble. I mean, it's amazing how simple it is, but you start promising stuff and the games get heavy.
They do. I remember, well, I go back to the Cleveland Browns with them acquiring Odell Beckham, with them having this amazing-looking offense on paper, which we all were so excited for, and we're still excited to see it come to fruition. But that brings about a pressure. I don't care who you are. You have that many weapons. You have that high of expectation. Everyone wants to perform and meet those expectations or exceed them. And the Cleveland Browns just have not done that.